Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus. On day 8 of our Year of the Bible journey, day 8 in the book of Genesis, we got through all the primeval history, Adam and Eve, Noah, Cain and Abel, Tower of Babel, and then we started talking about the patriarchs, Abraham, he got a lot, and then Isaac, and Isaac's kind of the hinge figure here. Because Abraham gets a lot of time, a lot of words. Jacob gets a lot of words. Isaac only gets a few by himself, you know, qua patriarch, as it were. And so we talk about Jacob in today's reading, except for that weird interlude where Abimelech thinks Rebecca is his sister. Another one of these, to which Abimelech responds, and I'm paraphrasing here, what the hell is wrong with you? and it's a fair question. What is up with you guys pretending your wives are your sisters? This makes me really uncomfortable. But that goes on. But the big news, if you will, is twofold here. One is, we already knew that Isaac's favorite child, we're told, is Esau, and Rebecca's favorite child is Jacob. And we know that Esau, the hunter, had been sort of, certainly not cheated out of his birthright, but how about imprudently gave away his birthright to a sort of scheming Jacob earlier. So we know that that happened. And then in this one, Isaac is, his eyes have grown dim. He is about to be gathered to his fathers, and he needs to do his final blessing, his final paternal blessing. And so he says, to Esau, the hunter, his favorite son, hey, go make some food, go make some of your delicious venison stew, and come back, and I'll give you the paternal blessing. Rebecca overhears it, and anyway, you've read the story, and Jacob gets the blessing instead. Now, this is deception. It's premeditated deception. It's very intentional. Like, it's planned. It's carried out. Isaac asked Jacob Jacob, having been disguised, repeatedly. Notice he says, is it you, my son? How did you get so hairy, my son? Or did you bring the food, my son? Repeats it over and over and over again. Makes it sound like Isaac is a little dubious. And yet it happens. Esau is angry, as you would imagine. And Rebecca sends Jacob away to go find a wife. Not among the Canaanites, right? Not among the Canaanites, not among the Hittites. Esau's already married a couple of Hittites. That way goes trouble marrying Hittites then and now, I suppose. But the big sort of famous artwork-worthy story at the end of today's reading is when Jacob is headed off. Could we say running for his life? Maybe a little bit. Headed to go see Rebecca's people, the Laban, her brother. Headed off there and finds a random place to stay. He's not in a town, not in a settlement, but just a sort of random place on the way. And he sets himself down there, and the Lord appears to him. He sees a ladder or a staircase, something, this is artistic language here, with angels going up and down from heaven to earth. Now, maybe you think right here is like, aha, look, this is like the Tower of Babel, right, which was supposed to reach from earth to heaven, but for real, right? It's actually earth to heaven, but it's not made by people, it's made by God, and the angels go up and down on it. And then it says, and then Yahweh is standing there next to Jacob. Yahweh is standing there next to Jacob and makes all of these promises, right? Makes all these blessings. Now think about this. Jacob has just left getting his father's blessing through duplicity and deception in a way that's you can't really justify. I mean, it's like flat out, like maybe you say Esau trading away his birthright for some lentil stew was, you know, dumb. But this is something altogether different. So he's gotten this blessing deceptively. And now Yahweh is standing right next to him, it says, and gives him these others. No deception here, right? What can he do? What can he say? We don't have another record, biblical record of God ever speaking to Jacob before. Maybe he did, I don't know, but it certainly wasn't a big part of his life. The way that, for example, you know, at the very beginning of the Abraham story, God speaks to Abraham. We haven't heard that with Jacob until now. What's on his conscience, right? What's on Jacob's conscience as he's standing there? How's he feeling about you know, evildoers getting punished and all that kind of stuff? Here is an example, again, of God's gracious election. In case you thought that perhaps, the recipients of grace receive grace because of their virtue, here's a great example of how that's clearly not true. That's clearly not the case. Jacob is at that very moment, the least deserving maybe he's ever been in his life of God's blessings. And yet God promises him the blessings anyway. Why? Because that's how God does it. Because God wants to do it that way. And so Jacob is the recipient of that grace. Which is crazy. Because it also means that all of us can be recipients of God's grace too. You know, like all of us sinners can be recipients of God's grace, and he shows favor on those to whom he shows favor. Jacob is the great sort of example of that. The New Testament writers and Jesus himself, sort of implicitly, point to Jesus as that ladder that connects heaven and earth. The sort of commerce between heaven and earth in substance is one that's carried out by Jesus Christ, who would be, you know, there in those holy lands, the same ones that all of them were walking up and down. He would be the one that sort of fulfilled the promises that were there made to Jacob. So this is a picture of Jacob, the younger. We don't know exactly how young he is. As we keep going, we'll run into the much older Jacob, and that's part of the rest of the story. But here's the younger Jacob, and here's how he starts out, right? Here's how he starts out his adult life. Here's how he, sort of models fraternal relationships, right? For the sons who are to follow, how much of the story are they told? Who knows? I don't know. But here, like Abraham's, conversations with God, Jacob gets to have one too, and it's the real promise. It's the thing that can't be taken away. Now, Jacob still has hanging over him, of course, the revenge that his brother wants to get out of him, right? The revenge, the sort of blood that he's going to want to extract from Jacob later. But that is for another time. Now he's headed off to Laban. He's not married. He needs to find somebody to get married. Isaac had good success heading over that direction, and so Jacob heads over that direction as well. and we will see how he does, how Jacob the schemer, how he gets schemed there with Laban. So there we are. Well, onwards and upwards in our Bible journey readings. I hope everything is going well for you. Please let me know at any time if there's anything I can do to be helpful for that. But I hope that you're enjoying being edified by hearing about this primeval history and then the patriarchs. I mean, the patriarchs of it's a fascinating story. It's not always doesn't always paint them in the most complimentary light because they're human beings like us too. So let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading.